नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्स। हेलो, दिस इज लाल फ्रॉम पियोधम्मा.नेट। आई एम गोइंग टू डू अ सेट ऑफ देशनास इन अ न्यू सब्जेक्ट सबसेक्शन इन द लिविंग धम्मा सेक्शन। दिस न्यू सबसेक्शन विल कम आफ्टर द फर्स्ट वन एंटाइटल्ड लिविंग धम्मा overview. In that subsection, I mentioned two types of suffering. One type is that can be removed in this life itself. The second type is the suffering in the rebirth process. Since some of you may not even be convinced of the rebirth process, we will not talk about that in these early subsections. So that first subsection had a discussion about how this first type of suffering arises and how it can be removed. So it could be helpful to go over that subsection first. Now, after that first subsection, I had a second one entitled Living Dhamma Fundamentals, where I started discussing the connection between dasa akusala and chaitasika, or mental factors in our thoughts. Recently, based on comments from readers, I realized that it was too much of a jump from the first to the second subsection. And this is true even for many of you who have had exposure to Buddha Dhamma, but who are not familiar with Chaitasika and Abhidhamma in general. So this new subsection on living Dhamma with less Pali will hopefully make the transition between those two subsections. I plan to introduce Pali terms gradually in this subsection. Furthermore, the material discussed in this new subsection was not discussed in either of those two old subsections. This is yet another basic approach to learning Dhamma, and in particular, how to start the actual practice. So this subsection will have less theory and more on actual practice. Let me say it again. This new subsection is more relevant to the practice and sets the foundation for Anapana and Satipatthana meditations. Okay, so let us start with the discussion about the 10 immoral deeds or dasa akusala. The 10 immoral actions or dasa akusala, like the 10 commandments in Christianity, lie at the heart of Buddha Dhamma. But they are much deeper, as I will point out in this desana. They are immoral in a very deep sense. How deep they are will come out gradually in several desanas. Immoral normally means something that one should not do because it may cause harm to others, even if it benefits oneself, say financially. But with Buddha Dhamma, it can be shown that such actions actually cause more harm to oneself than to others. For example, if one steals from another, his gain in this life will be negligible compared to what he will be paying back for his deed, either later in this life or in future lives. The nice thing is that this is not just an arbitrary rule set by the Buddha. As one learns Dhamma, one will be able to see that nature works that way. That is just how nature works. Those immoral actions are divided into three categories. There are three done with bodily actions, like killing of living beings, stealing and sexual misconduct. These are the first one to be avoided at all cost. Then comes the four done by speech. They are lying, slandering, harsh speech, and gossiping or frivolous talk. These need to be stopped as soon as possible too. So it is relatively easier if one is determined to try to avoid those akusala done by the body and by speech. Those last three done by the mind are more complex. They are excess greed or abhijja, excess anger or vyapada, and wrong views or michchaditti. In order to really abide by those, one needs to learn Dhamma to some extent. This is what we will be doing for a few more desanas in this series. First, we need to discuss a few things some of you may not have thought about regarding the seven immoral acts or akusala done by the body and by speech. For example, there are many of us who consider hunting and fishing as sports activities and do not even consider them as immoral actions. Even in Buddhist countries like Sri Lanka, there are many who engage in fishing and hunting as their livelihood. They also don't consider such activities to be immoral, mainly because their families have been engaged in those activities for generations. But it is a good idea to look at this issue with a new perspective. All animals have perceptions and feeling. They can recognize what's going on in their environment, and they do feel pain just like us. That is the difference between sentient beings and plants. Plants are living things too, but they don't have feelings, perceptions, or thoughts. That is a very important point. Unlike humans or animals, plants cannot think. Now, getting back to animals, we are all familiar with the behavior of cats and dogs. We know that they recognize their owners, and that is perception. A dog will start wagging the tail at the sight of the master, but will start barking at the sight of a stranger. They play with other friendly dogs, but bark at strange dogs. That is perception, the ability to identify things in the environment. They will cry out in pain if you hit them. Not only that, they feel sad when you shout at them. If you have dogs or cats as pets, you know all these to be true. Some lower animals like fish cannot show their emotions. They don't have facial muscles that we have in order to show emotion. They don't have the ability to cry out like dogs or cats. But if you have seen a fish that's dangling from a hook, you can clearly see the pain they are experiencing. So all animals feel pain and they all have perception. For those who are familiar with Abhidhamma, Sanya and Vedana are universal mental factors. Those two mental factors, or chaitasika, are in each and every thought or chitta. Sanya is the perception and Vedana is feeling. We kill many small insects even without realizing it when we take a walk. That does not lead to any bad karma vipaka or bad consequences. What is immoral is to take any life intentionally. This is another key point to remember. As we will see in future desanas, intention is the key to figuring out whether a bad karma is committed or not. Another important factor that I want to mention is that all sentient beings don't have the same weight. Consciousness level of a living being plays a big role there. For example, killing a human is a very bad karma and is much worse than killing millions of ants, for example. Killing an arahant in the same way is a million-fold stronger bad karma compared to killing a normal human being. I say this not to take killing of animals lightly, but one must know that all lives are not the same. They don't have the same weight. I encourage you to read the post entitled How to Evaluate the Weights of Different Karma. I'll be giving links to these in the post. So it is critical to decide for oneself which activities to be tackled first. Because some people spend a lot of time on avoiding relatively insignificant things and commit much more significant bad karma on a regular basis. Generating hateful thoughts, for example, about another human being is much worse than killing many lower level animals like ants. Again, this is not to encourage killing of ants, but to illustrate the significance of such bad thoughts and harsh speech towards humans. By the way, karma is one what does, speaks and thinks. Bad or immoral akusala karma are those associated with any of those dasa akusala. They are all based on one's thinking. My favorite example here is a leaking tank. Suppose the tank has multiple holes of different sizes. When the tank is filled with water, it is going to start leaking through these holes. If one wants to stop these leaks, it is not wise or smart to spend time trying to plug small holes while the big ones are losing a lot of water. It is best to try to plug the bigger holes first. In the same way, one should not treat all bad actions to have the same weight. Obviously, killing an animal is worse than hitting it. But how about killing an animal versus lying to another human being? The latter one actually has more weight. That is because a human life is much more valuable than that of an animal. Getting human life is a very infrequent occurrence for a living being. In this regard, I must also point out a common akusala that many people engage in a regular basis, even without realizing it. Some people tend to think that only saying out bad things is immoral speech. For example, one may get really angry with another person and spend hours and hours thinking bad thoughts about that person, wishing bad things to happen to that person. Even if not a single word is said to that person, one will be generating a lot of bad karma just by consciously thinking bad thoughts for an extended time. We know that lying, slandering, uttering harsh words or gossiping come under bad speech. All those come under vachi sankhara. Here vachi means speech. But vachi sankhara also includes talking to oneself. If you think about it for a moment, you will see that we tend to do a lot of that. We talk to ourselves before we say anything out loud. It can be labeled also as conscious thoughts. We are fully aware that we are thinking such thoughts. Such conscious thoughts or talking to oneself, they are also included in vachi sankhara. you may want to read the post on correct meaning of vachi sankhara. Before we speak bad words, we normally think about them in our minds. By the way, in Abhidhamma, vachi sankhara are defined as vitakka vichara. So this is why even if you do not speak out loud, they are still counted as vachi sankhara. Therefore, we need to really pay attention and stop such conscious bad thoughts whenever we become aware of them. This will make a huge difference in one's state of mind in the long term. We have seen some people with angry faces muttering to themselves without saying a single word. But just by looking at that person's face, we can clearly see that he or she is thinking very harsh thoughts. That is a very bad habit. So those are a few things to keep in mind regarding immoral actions by the body and by speech. It is easier to tackle those seven akusala done by bodily actions and speech. However, it is a bit harder to control the three akusala done by the mind. Here, when I say harder to control the actions done by the mind, I am not talking about conscious thoughts or vachi sankhara that we discussed a minute ago. There are certain thoughts that automatically come to our minds. The three immoral actions by the mind really involve those automatically generated thoughts. This is another important point to remember. Let us consider first two immoral actions by the mind. Excess greed or abhijja and excess anger or vyapada. Greedy thoughts automatically arise in us when we see, hear, smell, taste or touch something that we really like. Thoughts of anger also automatically arise in us when we see, hear, smell, taste or touch something that we really don't like. Now notice the difference between this automatic arising of pleasing or angry thoughts and then following up with more conscious thoughts. That is the difference between manosankhara and vachisankhara. Automatic thoughts are manosankhara and follow-up conscious thoughts are vachisankhara. So I'm trying to introduce only key Pali words as I proceed. Let us take an example to clarify this. Suppose a woman is walking down a street and she suddenly stops. She has seen a nice dress displayed in a shop window. The sight of that dress automatically generated pleasant thoughts in her. Those pleasant thoughts were automatic. So those initial thoughts that come to her mind said, "What a nice dress." And that is manosankhara. Now she stops and keeps looking at the dress. Now she is consciously thinking about the dress. Do they have other colors? How much will it cost? Can I afford it? There will be thousands of conscious thoughts arising. Now she is deliberately thinking those thoughts. And those are vachi sankhara. Now suppose she was walking with her husband and when she abruptly stopped, the husband would also stop and see why she stopped. Then he will also see the dress. But that dress will not generate any especially pleasant thoughts in him. It will look nice to him, but he will not have any interest in it. Thus, he will not generate any vachi sankhara. I hope you see how different types of manosankhara are automatically generated differently in different people. The wife generated greedy manosankhara and the husband did not. Now forgive me for using this bit extreme word greedy, but that illustrates how we get attached. The point here is to show that different people react differently based on their personalities and habits. The Pali word for this is gati, any two individuals have different gati. While some gati may overlap, there will be many gati that are different from person to person. Now, a married couple will have many similar gati. That's why they can stay together. But still, no two people will ever have all same gati. So let us take another example. Suppose two politically active people, A and B, with opposing political views, are watching the same TV program in their living rooms. The picture of a politician C comes to the screen. A likes C, but B hates C. So as soon as the picture appears, A will be generating pleasant thoughts about C, but person B will generate hateful thoughts. Thus, based on their political gati, they will automatically generate opposite types of feelings. Then each person will start generating his or her own vachi sankhara based on those initial feelings. And of course, those will be different too. The key is that those two opposing sets of mano sankhara and vachi sankhara were generated by the same person or the same picture that they saw on the screen. You may even want to stop this audio and think a bit about this point. How can the same sense object, in this case the picture of a politician, see, can lead to good and bad feelings in two people? They arise because they have different political views or different ditti or views. They look at the political scene from two different perspectives. It is like looking at the world through different colored glasses, say red and blue. One will see the world as red and the other will see the world as blue. So it all depends on how one looks at the world from which point of view. Now we can also see how greed and hate are related to one's views or gati. Therefore, the first two akusala done by the mind, greed and hate, are connected to the third one of miccha ditti or wrong views. This is also an important point to think about. The two examples that we talked about do not involve really bad mano sankhara or vachi sankhara. They just illustrate how different types of mano and vachi sankhara originate. Of course, they can also lead to kaya sankhara or actions done by the body. For example, the wife may come back and buy the dress based on her vachi sankhara about the dress. That involved kaya sankhara since she had to go back to the store and buy it. But again, that is not an immoral deed. All sankhara are not immoral. There is a special version of sankhara that leads to actions with bad karma vipaka or bad consequences, or really bad consequences, I should say. They are called abhisankhara. Here, abhi means high or strong. So, abhisankhara is very strong sankhara. Again, I would encourage to pause and think about these new terms and new concepts if one is not familiar with them. Now, let us take an example of an abhisankhara or an immoral action. If someone says something nasty, something very hateful to us, our automatic response is to generate bad thoughts instantly and maybe even to give back a nasty response. But the key is that not every person reacts that way. Some people can even smile and let it go, while there are others who react violently. This is the basis of mindfulness that you have heard so much about. The critical point to remember is that we need to keep an eye and be aware of our thoughts and catch any bad ones at the earliest possible time. Those who get mad at the slightest provocation need to pay special attention. Animals do not have this ability to catch themselves. When they get angry, they just go with the flow. There is no ability for them to pause and think about the consequences. Even as humans, this is something that needs to be cultivated, especially for those who get angry easily. As they say, take a deep breath and count to five. That helps. That will slow down the impulsive reaction. We just need to give our brains a bit more time to think rationally. So you may even want to pause this audio and read the post "Truing Brain: How the Mind Rewires the Brain Via Meditation and Habits." This is an important issue that I would like you to think about even after the desana. However, the key to control the akusala done with the mind is actually based on controlling those seven akusala done by the body and the speech. When one lives a moral life by avoiding those akusala done with the body and by speech, one's mind will gradually purify. That helps in cultivating the mindfulness that we just talked about. Of course, controlling one's bodily actions and speech also directly depends on mindfulness. So they help each other. One would not say or do anything bad if it took a bit of time to think about their bad consequences. So this process of mindfully controlling one's actions and speech is called sila in Buddha Dhamma. Sila is moral conduct. You may have heard that sila, samadhi, panya is the basis of starting on the noble path. And we can explain why this particular sequence holds. When one lives a moral life by making sure one avoids as many akusala or immoral deeds done by the body and speech, then one's character or gati will gradually change for the better. This is really the key in controlling the akusala done by the mind. When we reduce our bad gati, those bad manosankhara that arise automatically will be reduced. In other words, one will have less angry gati and will not get mad at the slightest provocation. I'll provide links to three more posts on gati, and actually there are many at the site. It is important to read them and get a good idea about how our thoughts, speech and actions originate based on our gati. This is an important point that is missing in current Theravada texts. I have not seen any significant discussions on gati in the Theravada texts, in current ones. We will talk more about the importance of gati in upcoming desanas too. So I hope the timeline of our responses is now clear. First come the automatic thoughts or manosankhara that instantly arise due to our gati. Then we just go along in that direction and generate more conscious thoughts or vachisankhara, unless we stop it deliberately. In extreme cases, those vachisankhara get stronger and actual words come out. If the other side also get aggravated, then the situation could get out of hand and one may even hit the other person. At that stage, now it is a bodily action generated by kaya sankhara. Kaya sankhara obviously have much more drastic consequences. Therefore, the key to train ourselves, to catch ourselves in the early vachisankara stage is very important. As soon as one realizes that one is generating bad thoughts, one should stop and think about the bad consequences. Initially, this may not be easy, but at least think about it afterwards and make a determination to do better next time around. Most of our bad habits even come from previous lives, and that is why some are very hard to break. But determination and wisdom can overcome any bad gati. Wisdom or punya comes from understanding this process that we just talked about. So it is important to be aware of one's conscious thinking that happens before speech. We will use the term vachi sankhara to refer to both speech and those conscious thoughts that happen before speaking. Conscious thoughts mean basically talking to oneself. It is important to realize that before we speak out or do something, we always talk to ourselves about it at least for a very short time. So catching oneself talking to oneself about speaking or doing something bad is the key to mindful meditation. When one is actively engaged in controlling one's kaya sankhara and vachi sankhara, which of course includes talking to oneself, then one is cultivating sila. In other words, when one is able to avoid most of those seven immoral actions done by the body and speech, then one is living a moral life, and that is what we call sila. This sila or moral living leads to a calmness of the mind. The mind will not be constantly agitated as it used to be. This is called samadhi. When one has samadhi with the calm down mind, then it is easier to comprehend more Dhamma concepts. So in other words, one's panya or wisdom will grow. So now we can clearly see the basis of sila, samadhi, panya. You always start with sila, and that leads to the calmness of the mind or samadhi, and that makes it easier to comprehend new concepts, and that is panya. You may even want to stop the audio and think about this to make sure you understand the sequence of progress with sila, samadhi, panya. Okay, now let us discuss another aspect. Even though we separate akusala into three categories of body, speech, and the mind, in fact, they all arise in the mind. It is just that acts done by speech and the body are a little bit delayed. What we call manosankhara, on the other hand, they arise automatically based on our gati. So it is good to take some time and contemplate on this to make sure one understands these concepts. Even though it feels like we just do things or say things, we always think about it first. The problem is that for an untrained mind, these three steps go very quickly, one after the other, in rapid succession. Therefore, it just appears that they are all manosankhara or they are all automatic. But when one trains oneself in mindfulness, these three processes start to separate out and one will be able to control things better. Now, the best way to confirm this first is to realize that you have control over your bodily movements or speech. Suppose you get up from the desk to go to the kitchen and get a drink. You can consciously decide to postpone that for a few minutes. If you got up already, you can decide to sit down. Same is true for speech. It feels like we just say things, But we say those things consciously. We cannot even lift a finger without conscious thoughts. But most people just go with the flow and don't try to control their actions or speech. But when one gets better at it, we can clearly see that one has full control. It is very important to realize that we do have control over our body movements and speech. So this is the basis of Satipatthana Bhavana or mindful meditation. Sometimes our actions are started by Kamma Vipaka. For example, we may suddenly think about an enemy in the middle of washing dishes in the kitchen. We don't know how that thought came to the mind, but that did not just happen. Everything happens due to a reason, a cause. So that thought came to our mind as a Kamma Vipaka. However, within a few seconds after that comes to our mind, we become aware of that thought. And from that point, we have control over it. We can consciously shift the focus to think about something else, even though it may take some training to do so. Therefore, our initial responses to any external sense input is automatic. In another example, an alcoholic will generate greedy thoughts for a drink at the mere mention of his or her favorite drink. Same is true for one's favorite food. Even if one is really full, if one's favorite food is offered, one may be tempted to taste it. This initial reaction to sense inputs is exactly what goes under the akusala done by the mind. These are unconscious thoughts that automatically arise in our minds due to our character or our gati. But gati is more complex than just character, and we will get the full meaning of it as we keep using it. This is why I want to slowly get everyone to be familiar with at least some key Pali words. Even though it could be a little bit hard in the beginning, it will be very helpful as we progress. There are simply no English words to replace some key Pali words. Akusala, Sankhara and Gati are three such words that we have introduced so far. In the next desana, I will discuss Gati and Samadhi in a bit more detail. May the blessings of the Triple Gem be with you in your efforts.